Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, today we're going to talk about an article that came out regarding the five stages of grief. Mm-hmm. And the title is The Truth About Grief and the Myth of Its Five Stages.
We've had some interesting titles this week, man, haven't we?
It's been good.
I mean,
it's
we know the ending of this movie, yeah, don't we?
So this is from Psych Central, yeah, and it was I don't even see a date on it, so when it was published. But it is a... There was a lot of things I learned in this article. I did not realize that the five stages of grief came from a research study done with terminally ill patients, as opposed to people who had actually lost a loved one.
That's right. So many times we make these assumptions, mm-hmm, like, okay, this person has done enormous research and taken time and a life's work and mm-hmm has discovered that these are the five stages of grief, and mm-hmm they became part of our common lore. I mean, you'd right go up to most people and they say, well, you know, this is a grief process, and they kind of know, they might not be able to remember the name of each step,
right,
but they know that there are four or five or six, some people have right seven steps in the grief process.
Right.
So it's just become something that we just assume is accurate.
Right.
Only to discover that the woman who developed this, Karen Kubler-Ross, and that's a famous name in our mm-hmm in our field, and especially popular psychology, did all of this work with terminally ill patients mm-hmm and their grief process.
Right.
So the crux of this article is we're not sure
right
that people who have lost a loved one mm-hmm go through these same five steps in this order.
Right, right. And we're even referring to it as steps, and mm-hmm in fact, it's not steps at all. One of the things that we've learned is that we do not progress sequentially through these different
That's
stages.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You can jump Cycle right into you can jump right into bargaining, or you can jump right mm-hmm into anger. You don't have to start with denial and then go
That's
through
right
through them sequentially like mm-hmm that. So there's a lot of things that have seeped into popular mm-hmm culture mm-hmm as it relates to the stages of grief that are not necessarily consistent with the way that even the research
right
was derived.
That's right. And we also, one of the first things we learned about the grief process is you could be at step or stage three,
right,
but start to cycle back again.
Right.
Okay, so
yeah,
these are not clearly defined steps that you must mm-hmm complete step two and then go on to step mm-hmm three. You might get to four and then go back to two,
right,
and then go up to two or five and then go back to three.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a much more complicated process right than we had assumed.
Right, right. So let's talk a little bit about what they refer to as the myths. And mm-hmm the author here is pulling from a book entitled
right
The Truth About Grief, The Myth of Its Five Stages, and the New Science mm-hmm of Loss. And that
right
was written by a journalist, Ruth Davis. I'm not going to try to say the last name. I'm not good with last names.
Okay.
Konigsberg. I
yes
think I did pretty
Konigsberg
good with, I think
Konigsberg
I did pretty good with that one.
Yeah. The Theory of Konigsberg, the Treaty of Konigsberg.
Right.
That's a city.
Right. So yes. Mr. Geography.
Well, you know.
So this author is pulling from that, and it kind of suggests that perhaps grief is a little bit different than what we thought of with
right
these five stages.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So let's jump right into some of the things that they talked about.
Right. Yeah, because in fact, we have assumed that there are these five stages. They've never really been validated.
Right.
So this is one of those steps in that direction.
Right.
Of validating what is the grief process?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've all experienced grief. We've all experienced, you know, mm-hmm some type of loss, some type of something. And the idea that, again, the idea that it's as, to me, those five stages are relatively
elementary. They're relatively basic. Okay, so you're going to be angry about it. Then you're going to...
there could be denial.
Right.
Especially if it's an unexpected death.
Right.
Okay, you can say, wait a minute, this can't be happening. You
know? But a lot of those are, you know, what Freud, I think, would refer to as defense mechanisms. Defense,
right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's really what we're talking about. But let's talk a little bit about how this author kind of takes it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how, you know, grief is a little bit more complex than that.
Right. I think, and I want to make sure we leave our readers with something to hold on to.
Listeners.
Readers? Readers.
Yeah.
I think we're writing all the time, right?
Yeah.
It's a throwback. We used to be writers.
Yeah.
Now we're speakers. There have been other books written
mm-hmm.
that separate loss and grief.
Right.
And I think that's a very good first step.
Right.
Because, as one writer said, loss is forever.
Right.
Grief needn't be.
Right.
There was a time when we thought grief could go on and on and on and on and on. We now know that it does subside,
right.
or should subside. If it doesn't, mm-hmm. you might want to get help. But loss is forever.
Mm-hmm.
Grief is not.
Right.
And I think that's probably a very good starting point, is to separate those two things.
Right.
And you're always going to miss the person.
Right.
Or the animal.
Right.
Because it happens with pets.
Mm-hmm.
You're always going to miss the loved one. But grief is a process that should diminish over time.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that is certainly critical, that right. we differentiate, you know, loss and grief, because, like, I don't like the idea. I've never been a fan of the idea of forgive and forget.
No.
Okay.
No.
That's you're not going to forget.
No.
You know, the event or the circumstance is always going to be, you're right. always going to remember that,
right.
you know, especially if it was something
any
significant.
Any significant event you're right. going to remember.
So, you know, we have this idea, this sort of delusioned idea that we can forgive and forget.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's, again, way too simplistic.
Right.
That's not possible. And similarly, differentiating the loss from the grief, I think, is critical for us to be able to move forward. Because when we... If you just, even the notion of, okay, so you just lost a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got to work through the stages of grief to where you get to acceptance.
Right.
What we assume acceptance means is that you accept the fact that it happens, you're okay, and you're able to move on mm-hmm. and basically forgive and forget.
Right.
It just doesn't work that
no.
way.
Mm-mm.
It just doesn't. I mean, how many patients have you worked with who are still struggling with a loss from years ago.
And you have to have permission to stop grieving.
Right.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with ending the grief process
right.
because you do have to get on with your life.
Right.
Okay. Because you stop grieving doesn't mean you feel the loss mm-hmm. any less. You
mm-hmm.
can continue. You're going to continue to feel the loss the rest of your life.
Right.
But you don't need to continue grieving because the grief process is so intense
mm-hmm.
that it will interfere.
Right.
And especially if you're a parent
mm-hmm.
or you have a partner or you mm-hmm. have responsibilities, you can't execute any of those things if you're in an acute grief process.
Right.
That's why people don't go to work for a time
mm-hmm.
after the loss of a loved one.
Right.
Or they stop doing activities
mm-hmm.
For a time after the loss of a loved one. But at some point, you have to go back to your life.
Right.
You can't keep putting it off.
Absolutely. And oftentimes, and I think that therapists are even at fault for
right.
trying to promote the idea that you have to move on, you have to get through this and just
you have
press
to go
forward.
Through these steps.
Yeah.
And again,
just sort of as examples of how it's never forgotten, we've all lost loved ones in
sure.
in our lives, but, you know, when the anniversary comes around, for us, there's, you know, we lost an important person in our family around Easter.
Mm-hmm.
So every Easter, that's something on
right.
our mind.
Mm-hmm.
We have all had people that we've lost who we shared important times in our mm-hmm. life. And so for me, for example, you know, my grandparents, we used to go fishing. And so you know, anytime I think about going fishing, I immediately think of PA. Right. And so, and then those emotions and those feelings come back. And, you know, and especially when it's somebody who's really integral in our life, then we have lots of those. So it may be fishing, it may be going to a baseball game. Somebody, a patient came in the other day wearing an Atlanta Braves jersey. The Atlanta Braves were PA's, like, favorite team.
Right.
And so it's like, so he comes right back to mind, and you start thinking about some of those things from the past. It doesn't go away. That loss doesn't go away. But we're not still grieving.
But that's different from grief.
Right.
You have gotten on with your life.
Right.
Okay. And that's that distinction again.
Right.
Of course you feel the loss.
Yeah.
And especially if somebody dies near a holiday
or a birthday
or something that reminds you of it. And so, yes, you're going to continue to experience the loss, but the grief process is shorter. In fact, one writer said that the grief process should last about 6 months.
Right. That's a long time.
That's a long time to grieve.
Yeah.
And anything beyond that, may be a cause for concern.
Right. Well, in some religious practices, you know, suggest that you're grieving for a year after a death. There are some who encourage that long-term grief. Now there's some pros and cons, I think, to that. One is you certainly don't want to just rush through and, you know, try to go from the event to acceptance as fast as possible, because you're going to miss a lot.
And everybody, the other thing to remember is the grief process is highly individualized.
Right.
You know, everybody goes through it differently, and you have to take your time. You can't speed it up.
Right.
But just as there's no reason to prolong it, there's no reason to try to truncate it, to shorten it.
Right.
You have to go through the grief process in your own way, in your own time.
Right. Right.
But if you get past the 6 month mark, you may want to start thinking that perhaps something else is going on, and you may want to deal with that.
And again, it's differentiating the loss from the grief. If you're still grieving for that long, then
if you can't get on,
if
you're not back to work, if you're not taking care of your children, you're not taking care of a partner, that's impairment.
Right.
Okay. That's not grief. And so I think that's a very different kind of an issue.
Right. So again, we really encourage you to read this article, because they go into more detail have some links to different things, because they talk about resilience, and they talk about the ability to get through that process and the difference between loss and grief and everything. There's more detail there. I think it's a great read that you'll benefit
this is
from.
Yeah, this is one that's really worth taking a close look at, because we have all lost loved ones. We are all going to lose loved ones, and so I think it's a good idea to take a look at this. I was going to mention a program the other day about death and dying in the United States. They revisited that topic on a radio program the other day. But I won't go into that, because we have other things to do this morning.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that is it.
Glad we could talk about that, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Want to make the quick announcements again. Trying to do that every day this week. Have some new artwork on its way. We are working on sort of revamping the image of the podcast and our sites and everything. So be on the lookout for that new music, new artwork. Don't be surprised if your feeds start featuring a different thumbnail.
It looks different.
Or when you turn it on, you hear different music, because it's still us, but it may sound a little bit different.
A new and improved version
of
us.
It may not be Happy Boy anymore. Let's see.
That's right. That's Happy Boy.
But the other thing that we're doing is we are working on building our Patreon page that those of you who are interested, willing, and able, you can help sponsor some of the work that we're doing, so that we can bring some other people in to help save us some time.
Right.
It takes a tremendous amount of time to put the podcast together, to research and edit, and then research, record, and then edit, and get the information out there to you. We would like to upgrade all of our equipment and everything, so that the quality is better for you. So be on the lookout for our Patreon link for those of you who would be interested in becoming patrons and helping us out.
Yeah, we're not college-educated podcasters. Is there such a thing? I suppose by now there might
be. Probably.
Okay. Anyway, we learn as we go.
Right.
I mean, we started out with just sort of feeling our way through this. And over time, we've begun to realize that there are important improvements that we can mm-hmm. make. But each time we ventured into those right. improvements, we realized that we just don't have the time
right.
In our week
right.
because we're already here. We say this often, but we're not complaining. We're not whining.
Yeah.
But we are here 7 days a week.
Yeah. In the wee hours of the morning.
In the wee hours of the morning every day. And so it just takes time.
Right.
And that's what we need. We need time more than anything else. We're not right. going to buy a building or a
yeah.
studio or anything. We just need exactly. more time to get this to the level where we know how much more we can do.
Right.
And but to do that, we need more time and no more. What are those called? What'd you call those?
Reminders.
Reminders. No
those
more
reminders.
Bernie's supposed to stand up and exercise right now with his Apple Watch.
That's right. So. But as you said, there's a lot more that we want to do. And so having right. a little bit of support will help us to be able to do mm-hmm. that. More courses, more webinars, right. seminars online, more material for you. Hopefully that you'll benefit from.
Right.
So let us know what you want. Let us know what we can do better, what we can do to improve your experience with the podcast and get to you the information that you want and the
I'd love to hear from our listeners
yeah.
And viewers. I would love to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
So if there's any hesitation at all of whether you should or not, please, you should.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. So write to us on YouTube or Facebook or through right. Twitter. That's my account. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have an account still.
Excuse me. He won't let me have an account. Truth in advertising. How many times have I asked?
Too many times.
Three, four, five.
Too many times. If you ask one more time, I'm going to turn this car around.
Authoritarian parent.
So write to us. And the best way that you can help us like right now is if you listen to us on iTunes, yeah. to jump over on iTunes and write a review, rate right. us. Because that's going to increase our visibility on iTunes, and that'll help other people find us
right.
and get more involved. So
exactly.
All right. That is it. Have a great day. Have a great weekend.
Great weekend.
That's
and right.
we will see you next time. So until then, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.